Afternoon. Welcome to Spotlight on the Seminary, a monthly program in which we feature some of the events that are going on at Concordia Seminary campus here in Clayton, Missouri, as well as introduce you to some of the faculty and students who are part of its ministry. My name is Dave Marth, the Executive Director of Seminary Relations, and I serve as the host of this show. Today I'd like to introduce you to one of our professors. His name is Daniel Pokorny. And Professor Pokorny wears a lot of hats at the seminary, one of which is leading a ministry that is quite unique to not only our seminary and many seminaries throughout the world, but also to our whole synodical ministry. And that is his professorship of the John of Beverly Chair, a deaf ministry program which we operate for students who are on campus to not only train for deaf ministry, but some of whom are deaf. Dan, it's great to have you on the program today.
It's a pleasure to be here, David.
And I'd love for our audience to hear all about the deaf ministry program of Concordia Seminary and how that all started through the John of Beverly Chair.
Well, maybe the best thing to do would be to give a quick rundown of how the whole program came about. It was back in the late 70s that the Milneck Foundation of New York City, which was founded by the Lutheran Friends of the Deaf more than 40 years ago to help establish a school for deaf children in New York. Anyway, that foundation approached Dr. Bowman, who was the president of the seminary at the time, and asked if the seminary might be interested in a very, very exciting and unique approach to ministry to deaf people, namely the opportunity to train men who were themselves deaf for pastorates among deaf people. It was out of that request that Dr. Bowman established a study committee. The study committee recommended back favorably to the seminary, and the foundation then funded, for a period of 2 years, the John of Beverly Chair of Deaf Ministry. That began in 1979.
And that continues to be funded through the Milneck Foundation on an ongoing basis?
Yes, I think the foundation has been very, very pleased with the work that we've been doing, and so on our either biennial or yearly reviews, they've reported out favorably and continue to support the chair from the time that I came on the campus as the first John of Beverly professor to the present. They've been very supportive of our work and have been very pleased with the results of the program. I might mention here that kind of statistically speaking, we've had a lot of success. At the moment in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, there are two brand new pastors for the deaf who are themselves deaf, who are graduates of the seminary. One is Edwin Bergstresser, who's serving in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and the other is our recent graduate, Mark Anderson, who's serving in New Jersey.
The fact that with over 5,000 pastors in ministry in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, and only 1% actively involved in deaf ministry, and for that matter, I'm told, only 53 ministers serving our over 2 million deaf persons in the United States. It seems like we are just beginning to scratch the surface and probably haven't done as much as we could do in the whole area of deaf ministry.
Well, we have a very long history in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod of work among deaf people. It's about 100 years old now and started in Chicago, in a church where there were a few deaf people gathered to hear the pastor preach the first sermon in sign language. Our involvement goes back to the Lutheran School for the Deaf in Detroit, which even predates that. Now, what's happened, however, is in the last 15 years, the whole face of the world of the deaf and deaf education has changed radically, and so we're beginning now to play a little bit of catch-up in terms of adjusting our ministries to that.
Is the whole area of recruiting deaf students, or for that matter, students who want to work with deaf people, a problem?
It's a problem only in the sense that you don't have a wide range of feeder schools. You don't have a wide range of possibilities where you can find students adequately trained in pre-seminary kind of things, which is the baccalaureate degree, to come to the seminary. The two pastors I mentioned are both graduates of Gallaudet University in Washington, D.C. In this country, there are only three programs that are large and well-known that train deaf people after the high school level. Gallaudet University, National Technical Institute for the Deaf in Rochester, and California State University, Northridge. It's from these schools that we have to draw students to the seminary, since we require a bachelor's degree for entrance.
One of the things from your background was that you worked at Gallaudet some 15 years ago as a campus pastor there, and I know you were involved in a number of international type events and programs that served deaf ministry, and you have such a rich background of travel and of ministry in those kinds of ways. Going back to that for just a moment, is the whole area of deaf ministry and work throughout in other portions of the world as active as it was 15 years ago? Is there a lot being done to serve deaf people throughout the world?
I think that there's a lot of awareness development kind of things around the world. People are becoming more aware of those who have disabilities living among them. And deaf people have become aware of the fact that they have to make their situation known to the general population. And this is true in all parts of the world. My involvement goes back to 1971, when I attended the World Federation of the Deaf's Congress in Paris, and subsequently attended the first international training seminar on pastoral care to the deaf in Geneva. I didn't go there planning this, but it ended, I was the editor of the proceedings of that conference, and that kind of put me right into the world of deafness in a global scale. It ended up with my being involved in the second training seminar in Washington, D.C. in 1975, and I was the person responsible for that whole seminar. We had 163 people from 23 countries at that, and that too was an exciting event, bringing together workers from all over the world. What I've discovered is that almost in every country in the globe, there is some little program going on, some more advanced than others. I've had an opportunity to even look at some of the work in Poland. There are a lot of priests in Poland who work with deaf people. One of those is a close friend of the man who became Pope John Paul. And it was through his influence that we were able to get a third international training seminar held actually in the Vatican. And that was a very exciting program, bringing people from all over the world and to a place where there's a certain mystique about the church, anyway. And finally, to bring us to our most recent meeting, which was the first Asian Conference on Deafness, which was held in Hong Kong 2 weeks ago.
Yes, I want to have the have our listeners hear about that, because I know that was an exciting trip for you. You're listening, by the way, to Spotlight on the Seminary, which is a monthly program in which we highlight some of the ministries of Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. We're visiting today with Professor Daniel Picorni of our Practical Theology Department. Dan, you wear so many hats, and before we get to that Asian trip, I just want to tell our audience about, a little about that, because I think we are really blessed on campus with having a number of men who have varied backgrounds and really do a lot of exciting ministries. You not only teach homiletics, you're also pastor at St. Peter's Lutheran Church on King's Highway and direct our continuing education program. Do you ever feel like you're wearing so many hats that it really is difficult to accomplish all of those tasks? You sound like a pastor in a congregation who's trying to juggle about 15 different items.
Well, I think that sometimes a lot of the pieces fit together and mesh very, very well. My interest in homiletics, or the field of preaching, okay, goes way back to, I think, the my vicarage, where I was vicaring at St. Matthew's Lutheran Church for the Deaf in New Jersey, and became very aware there as a student, working exclusively with deaf people, about the importance of communication of God's Word in the sermon, and keeping things clear and simple and getting the law and gospel emphasis out very, very clearly. And my supervisor at the time was also very, very sensitive to that area of ministry. So it kind of focused in on that. Then when I went to Gallaudet College, which was the second call that I took in my ministry, and began work there with students, I soon discovered that in any academic community, if you are not a part of the general classroom operation of the school, you're kind of high and dry. So I began to teach a few courses in areas that I was qualified. And then when I came to the seminary and spoke with Dr. Bowman, I said, I really don't want to be an appendix as John and Beverly professor. I want to be part of the institution. And we agreed at that time that perhaps teaching one course in homiletics would do it. It turned out to be a very exciting event, and I've been doing that ever since.
Tell us about the Asian trip, because I know that's fresh in your mind, and you're just back and caught up on the jet lag and everything, but it must have been an exciting time.
Okay, that meshes a little bit with my interest in homiletics, and basically in my interest in communication. Deafness, per se, is a communication difficulty. Deaf people are not less intelligent than others. They're not less mobile than others. And they're not less sensitive than others or anything like that. They merely have a problem with a communication system that all of us take for granted, namely hearing and speech. So you can imagine that any conference would want to deal with that communication aspect. The first Asian conference that I attended the first few weeks in December of this year was designed to bring together people from the South Asian countries and see whether or not they could sort of help and support each other. I was asked to deliver two papers at the conference, both dealing with the adapting of various kinds of skills to work with deaf people, individual counseling skills and group counseling skills. The conference was held in Hong Kong, and there were representatives, I think, from at least 35 countries there. About 600 people attended. The conference had just covered every aspect of deafness, from a surgery for people who had cancer of the ear, down to how do you teach a three-year-old child his or her first word. While I was on the trip, I decided I was going to test out something that the sainted professor, Dr. Ray Winkle, told me when I was a student here at the seminary, namely, I can go around the world, he said, and never stay in a hotel. I can go and visit students of this seminary. So I decided to see if that's true. And believe it or not, it's true. I made three major stops on the trip. My first one was in Tokyo, and there I visited a classmate of mine who's a graduate of the seminary who's been working over there for 25 years. I also got a chance to visit with one of the national pastors there, a Japanese pastor who's taken upon himself the responsibility of work with the deaf. And that was an exciting thing, to hear the challenges that he faces. Also to hear some of the very similar kind of difficulties that deaf people in Japan have, and how he works with them. In Hong Kong, I had the wonderful experience of visiting with a longtime friend, also a graduate of the seminary, who's doing work over there in the Lutheran School for the Deaf, and to visit our Lutheran School for the Deaf in Hong Kong. And so get a glimpse of what they're doing. In the world of deaf education, sign language is not always as positively accepted as it may be in this country, for example. And so the Lutheran School for the Deaf in Hong Kong does not use sign language all that well. They're experimenting with a different system called cued speech, which could be part of another program if you want to talk to me sometime.
Okay.
Anyway, from there I visited with a recent graduate who's a missionary to Macau, and had a nice visit with him, and then went on to Manila and had a chance to visit with a graduate of about 2 years ago who's working up in the mountains, a young man by the name of Paul Gossman and his wife. And they were telling me all about their exciting work of evangelization with natives in the north of the Philippines. So I guess Ray Winkle was right. And I think that the good Lord probably knew what he was doing when he suggested that we go ahead and have the John and Beverly chair and put it in the mind of the foundation and Dr. Bowman. And here I am.
Well, it sure has given you an opportunity to be an ambassador all over the world, and that's exciting not only for your ministry but for us to be able to have you as a part of Concordia Seminary. We've been visiting today with Professor Daniel Pokorny of our Practical Theology Department here at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, and you've been listening to Spotlight on the Seminary. We hope that if you get the opportunity, you would write to Professor Pokorny at the seminary to find out more about how you might, in prayer, support his ministry and also find out more about the John of Beverly Chair and all of the things that are a part of his ministry. My name is Pastor Dave Marth. God's blessings until we talk to you again.
Spotlight on the Seminary with Reverend David Marth, a monthly update of special activities and people who are a part of Concordia Seminary in the St. Louis suburb of Clayton. Spotlight on the Seminary, a religious public affairs program of KFUO, AM 850.
The next look at news will be at 1 o'clock.